Hi, y'all. So this week I am centering my reading response on one specific quote that really stood out to me. It's from the Pathologizing the Language and Culture of Poor Children piece on page 368. And the quote is, "Instead of getting the child ready for school, how do we get the school ready to serve increasingly diverse children?" And what I really liked about this quote is that it made me pause and think about who we blame whenever students don't do well. And basically, the article talks a lot about how we blame the individual students and the communities that they come from, the marginalized communities that they come from. We blame them for the students not doing well instead of looking at what the schools are doing to support these students, and how these students are being evaluated as, you know, succeeding academically or not succeeding academically. And they look at this using a study done by Hart and Risley that found that three-year-olds from welfare families had about 500 words at that age, while three-year-olds from upper-class families had 1,000 words at that same age, which was a study that I had heard before reading this article. But I think before reading the article, I just kind of took that at face value and didn't think about the implications behind that study. I think, first of all, just the fact that I've heard the results of that study, even though I hadn't read the actual study itself, just shows how highly circulated of an idea it is in the education world. I've heard it talked about multiple times in multiple different schools from multiple different educators and people just in the education world. But I think a lot of times when people cite that study, they don't think about the fact that they're blaming these marginalized communities, specifically poor communities in the case of this study, for the success of these students, instead of thinking about what the schools are doing for these students. And I guess one of the main things I got from this article was that we really oversimplify stuff in the education system just to blame minoritized groups for the perceived failure of minoritized students. So I guess something I was thinking about is that one of the main reasons that we probably do this, besides the fact that, you know, we have so much classism and racism ingrained in society in general, is that it's a lot easier than trying to think about larger social problems. It's a lot easier to just say, oh, it's these families' issue and they're not doing their part, and therefore it's not really the school's fault that these students are, you know, not being perceived to be doing well academically. You know, there are so many other things going into that. It's, you know, the schools are not, you know, saying that they don't have, those students don't have the language that they need to succeed in school, but then those schools aren't really doing as much to support those students and giving them the language that they're saying is necessary to succeed in school. So it's, you know, education is made of majority white middle-class educators, and they're kind of setting the standard of, you know, what language is needed for success, but then they're not providing instruction on that language, and then yet they still blame the marginalized communities that these students are coming from and then say that it's their fault, even though really they're the ones setting the standard of what is needed to succeed, and not really thinking about the linguistic resources that those kids are bringing in. They talked a little bit about how working class families valued storytelling a lot more than the middle class and upper class communities, yet because it's, you know, middle class and upper class, linguistic practices are valued more in schools, their storytelling is just not valued as much whenever they're evaluating academic performance. But it's way easier to just say, oh, it's the fault of these families, than it is to think about, oh, well, who's setting these standards? And, well, how do we set students up coming from a variety of backgrounds up for success? It's a lot easier to blame it on smaller groups instead of thinking about larger systemic issues. And, you know, it goes beyond the school, too. This article talks about things with healthcare and nutritional programs and how in these studies, it's not whenever they talk about, you know, academic failure of marginalized students living in poverty, they don't really touch on the conditions of poverty behind it. They kind of just say, well, it's the fault of the families, not of the schools, not of these larger systems, just because it's a lot easier to say. So I think one of my main takeaways is just that it's really important whenever you have an idea in your head to think about where it's coming from. So in my case, you know, recognizing, oh, I'm thinking, I've heard this study many times, but I actually haven't even looked at the study. And, well, is it possible that I'm oversimplifying things? Because that's a lot easier than trying to think about larger systemic issues.